So we praise God for another good morning God has given us to listen to his word, and indeed there's always a lot to be grateful for. You know, when we think of today, and you know, the number 10 speaks of completeness, double completeness, 10-10, and we know we've seen the hand of God, we've seen his faithfulness, and you know, that's the thing that is called the eye of your understanding. That's what we were looking at yesterday. When light comes and it floods the eye of your understanding, oh, the scriptures just open. You know, they just open and it makes sense. You know, the thing is when this is something I was reading, is about a dimensionalist, someone who can see the end from the beginning, who can see beyond their time. You can think of David. David, when he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, you know, sit down until I make your enemies your footstool." He was already seeing the end. You know, he was seeing the time when Christ would be crowned. And he saw that in his own time. You can imagine, in a time where there was no, you know, there was no revelation, there was no scripture, but he could see that. And then you can think of Paul. Paul goes, takes him ahead. You know, he sees the end. He tells them, "Don't worry. This is how the world will end." There'll be a loud shout, you know, and the trumpet will shout, and the Lord will come. And these are people who God has helped them to see the end of all things, the perfection of the end of all things. And then now they come back to bring the people of their time to that place. And I pray that even as we keep praying for this spirit of wisdom and revelation, that God to show you the end. Because this thing, it comes really by revelation. You don't remember when Peter, Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon said, "You are the Christ. You are Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus told him, "This was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are no longer Simon, but you are Peter, and on this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail." There is that revelation of Christ, the Son of the living God. And you know, Christ, there it was referring to the office of the Christ. And when you understand this office, this is the highest throne in heaven, at the right hand of the Father. This is the throne from which Christ rules from. And you know, when you think of Mount Zion, that mountain, it's a real mountain in the spirit. And in the highest place, that is where Christ rules from. And the Bible says we have come to that mountain, to that heavenly Jerusalem. And when we come there, the Bible says we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principalities, all powers, all thrones, all dominions. And when you see the end, the perfect unity of that heavenly Jerusalem, when heaven and earth shall be united into one, where there shall be a unity of the natural and the supernatural, where Christ shall roll it up as a garment, and it shall be completed into the works of God as a completed work. And then you see all the plans of God from beginning, the foundation of the world, that he, the Lamb, had been slain. You know, God had desired all men from time to come to know him. And he finds the only way to do it is through Christ. He creates Adam, yes, but he knows Adam will fall. And he has already prepared a lamb. When this man falls, that this lamb that was shed from before the foundations of the world shall be the atonement of our sacrifice. That is when you now understand that your salvation was written in eternity before it even came to be. You just walked into it. God orchestrated, he pulled the strings to make sure that you get to your final destiny. You might think that, oh, it took you long, but with God, he is the author of time. He can bend time. He can increase time. He can grow you faster. You know, there are growths that happen that you know this one is just the hand of God. You can clearly see that if God had not done this, you will not have reached where you are. It has taken the hand of God. It has taken the intentional hand of God to raise up, to raise you up, to lift you up. And God will continue to do so. You know, once you settle in your heart that God has ordered my life, God has ordered my steps. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. The path of the just keeps shining and brighter till the morning day. Then you stop living a life of worry and you start living a life of thanksgiving. You are grateful to God because you have seen the end. You know that the end is glorious. It keeps just getting better and better. As you behold the glory of God, you are transformed each and every morning, each and every day to an ever-increasing glory into the very same image of God. God wants us to grow into Him, to think like Him, to walk like Him, to act on His behalf with the authority that He's given us. Yes, power belongs to God, but He's given us His authority. And the Bible says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the very oracles of God. Let him speak with that authority, knowing that it is God that is speaking through him, is delivering. He's a mouthpiece for the Father to bring the counsel of God to men. And that counsel of God is what delivers his might. That counsel of God is what delivers, brings deliverance. The greatest deliverance comes from revelation. You see, demons can be cast out of you, but Jesus said, if those demons leave, and they come back, they say, let me go back to my house. If I find it clean, and I will just enter it and occupy it. That means it is the revelation that will occupy, the teaching that will ensure that our blessings are permanent, that will ensure that we enter into the realms that God wants us to be. And that is why we must always be grateful for teaching. Teaching is what makes the difference. When we are taught the word of God, we are strong. We are strong. We know him who was from the beginning. Prayer is very good, but with prayer without the word, then we are half-baked. You generate the power, but you don't have the requisite wisdom to go with it. And Christ has made both our wisdom and the power. And today, as we continue in Ephesians 1, and as I've mentioned before, you know, this portion is like one of the richest portions of scripture, because Paul is concise in his words, but he's speaking about the mystery of the church, the understanding of who the church is, of who Christ is, the union of Jesus Christ and the church in the spirit, where we are seated with him. And the Bible says, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, and here we spoke of flooding with light, they may be flooded with light. For Tizo, the eyes of your understanding, your inner man may be flooded with light, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. You know, when God has called us, he has called us to a hope, to an ever-living hope. That means that our assurance is that we are not going to die. We are just going to transition into glory. And if Christ comes, I mean, even if the rapture is today morning or tomorrow or this coming week, when the trumpet is sounded, we shall be caught up and we shall go and meet the Lord in the air. That is our greatest encouragement. And we are not going there because of our effort. We are not going there because of our righteousness. But we are going there because of the righteousness that is imputed from Christ himself, that we have received by faith. That is the hope of his calling. He is calling us to himself. He is calling us heavenly. You know, there is a calling that first you are called out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are called from the kingdom of darkness. You are called into his light. You are called, and then there is also the call to serve God. There is a call that God gives each and every man to serve God. And the day you discover your calling, the day you discover your purpose, and you start to yield yourself to it, is the day you start living in what God had prepared for you in eternity. When the Bible says, Jesus said, I come in the volume of the books, it is written about me to do your will. Jesus knew what was written about him in the scriptures. And that's why he said he comes in the volume of the book to do the will of the Father. And that is why the Father says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Each and every time we do the will of our Father, when we respond to the call of God. And indeed, someone said it has to be a call because it's not easy. Because when the call of God comes, it pulls you from your comfort zone. It pulls you from what you know. It pulls you from your place where you have that stable salary. It can pull you into the unknown. That is the hope of his calling. The hope of his calling is that after we have done the will of God, after we have served God's purposes in our generation, we shall receive that reward. There is a blessed hope that is available for every believer. The blessed hope refers to that hope that does not disappoint. There is a hope that will never disappoint you. Those that hope on the Lord shall never be put to shame. You see, when people go through challenges and you find someone committed suicide, it's because they have no hope. They just don't know what to do. They just don't know where to run to. But there is a hope that you can cry to. There is a hope of our calling. And this hope of our calling, and the Bible says beyond that, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? There is a glory. You know, glory refers to beauty. It refers to a certain majesty that comes from God. When God clothes you with glory, you are shining, you're glowing, everything around you speaks of God. The Bible says there is a glory. The greatest glory is the glory of God. And that is the same glory that we are being transformed into, the very image. The Bible says the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I said our greatest inheritance is God himself. We are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ and heirs of God. When we look at all the blessings that are given, all power, all wisdom, all strength, all might, all riches, all wealth, they are all for Christ. And we are joint partakers of him. Everything that is for Christ is for you. Everything. That it's just like the way husband and a wife are one. Everything that is for the husband is for the wife. Why? Because they are one body. Likewise, in the spirit, we are made one spirit with the Lord, that everything that is for him is for us. And that's why the Bible says he has blessed us in the heavenly places with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. We are blessed. Know that we shall be blessed. We are blessed. We just don't know how to translate that which is already given. It's that consciousness. When you know that which is yours, then you speak it out. You believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. Let us look at another inheritance that is available. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. You know, this verse uses almost four Greek words for power. It says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power? You know, when it says power, the first power there is dunamis. And dunamis is dynamic potential power. This is the power that is available to, you know, is explosive, is the power that grows. When you think of the generator or even in a bicycle, the dynamo, the more you generate, the more is available. It's like a generator, the exceeding greatness of his power that is for us. And this power is available for those that believe. You know, one of the things that we know from God is without faith, you cannot get anything from God. It is impossible to please God. Because if you come to him, you must believe that he exists. The greatest foundation of any believer, of any Christian, is believing. The moment you lay your hands on a sick person, what are you believing? What are you thinking? Are you just saying, let me just pray and fulfill all righteousness? Or you are actually believing that God is going to raise this person. When you speak that, when you send that prayer, What is the buck in your mind? Are you fully convinced in what you're doing? The Bible says there is a great power, there is a great dunamis that is available for anyone that believes. And then that's why the Bible says, and these signs shall accompany those that believe. In my name, these signs shall accompany those that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall heal the sick. They shall raise the dead. They shall speak in new tongues. And if they take any deadly poison, it shall not harm them. That means there is a place where your belief system becomes how you think, becomes how you live. For example, if someone believes they are poor, no matter how much money you give them, they will always feel like it is not enough. Someone, that money will get lost. Someone will steal it. Or they will lose it. And before you know it, they lose it. Why? Because it is their belief system. But you see, when you have renewed your mind and you have made your belief system to be that God has given each and every one of us exceedingly great power. And this power, he's going to quantify it. Which power is according to the working. Here the working is the energy. That means it's like the generation, the energy generating of his mighty. That is force, iskus. Iskus is the other word that is used here. Iskus, the forcefulness. And then of his mighty power. This other word here is kratos. Forcefulness of his strength. And this strength is what gives us dominion. And then the Bible says, this exceeding greatness of his power for us who believe. All these words of power that are available, the Bible says, is the same power that he worked in Christ. He wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. I want you to picture the greatness of the power that raised Christ from the dead. You see, when Jesus died, he died fully a man. The Bible says that he was made sin. He that knew no sin was made sin that we might become the righteousness of God. He was made sin. When he cried out, my Father, why have you forsaken me? God could not look at sin. He had to turn aside. And he gave up his ghost. But the Bible says the moment he did so, what happened? There was darkness. Number two, there was an earthquake. Why? Because the earth was drinking the blood of a righteous man. The last time he did so was the blood of Abel. And the earth cried out. But now this was the blood of a righteous man who did not even carry the seed of Adam. And the Bible says the ground, there was an earthquake. But then it tells us also that the graves of righteous men were open and they walked out and people saw them and they entered into the holy city. Now, when you think about, and this is something that you will learn, that in before Jesus went to the cross, before he died, when everyone died, they went down. They went to Hades. And Hades had two compartments. It has Abraham's bosom and it has hell. Now, Abraham's bosom was where all those saints, all those who died before salvation, all those who are saved in credit, you know, in advance, those of Noah, those of, you know, all those people who are saved in advance. Those who believed, those of Moses, Elijah, all of those guys, they were there. But then now when he went there, he first broke that door. Because the Bible says he took the keys of hell and Hades. So he opened first the compartment of Abraham, Abraham's bosom. And those guys came out. And you can read that in Matthew 27. They came out, the graves, they went into Jerusalem. Then beyond that, then now he went into hell. And the Bible says, and you read that in 1 Peter 3:18, he preached to those spirits of those who are held in prison. Those who even died in the time of Noah, when Noah was preaching to them, he preached to them. But you see, at that point, okay, we don't know whether they accepted or they don't. That one Christ will tell us. But what we know is that it's appointed once for man to die and then judgment. So he preached to them. He proclaimed to them that he is a conqueror. And then beyond that, Colossians tells us that he made 2:15-16 there. He made a public spectacle of principalities and powers, triumphing over them over the cross. So he made a public spectacle of them. That means that if it was telling them, frog jump, jump here, go, 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 press ups, he made a public spectacle of them over principalities, and he took the keys of Hades and hell. He took the keys. And when he took the keys, the Bible also tells us that He took every legality that was written against you and he nailed it to the cross. Then you can think of such great power that even the curtain temple, the curtain that was blocking the Holy of Holies from the outer court, was torn from top to down. That means it was torn by a heavenly action. So there was power that broke it. And then the Bible says that great power is the one that gave life to the body of Christ as he was in the grave and he got up. Now that is the resurrection power. And then the Bible tells us that this power, this great power, because the greatest problem of man has always been death, sin and death. So by on the cross, he dealt with sin. He became sin. But then in his resurrection, he dealt with the problem of death and he defeated that enemy of death. And that's why the Bible says the last enemy to be defeated is death. He was defeated and then he resurrected. There is no person that can claim they resurrected apart from Jesus Christ. And that is why Christianity is the greatest religion on the earth, if you want to call it a religion. Why? Because we serve a living Jesus. Then the Bible says, apart from being raised from the dead, in fact, when the angels came, they were not coming to raise him. They were just coming to roll the stone away so that the women can see, so that there can be witness that he is not in the grave. Because he could just have left the grave without even needing the stone to be rolled away. They cried, "Who will roll the stone away for us?" That is why the angels came and rolled the stone and sat on it. And the soldiers were like dead men. Now, this power, the Bible says, beyond that raising it from the dead, it did not just stop there. The power set him at the own right hand, at his own right hand in the heavenly places. That means the power, God raised him, gave life to his body, raised him. And not only did he raise him, it set him at the right hand of the Father. And this right hand does not mean physical location. Right hand is a kingdom word that means the hand of authority, the place of authority, the highest seat of authority. You know, the heavens cannot even contain God. That is the reality. God, he created the heavens. How can it contain him? He created it. How can it contain? The heavens cannot contain him. But you see, he has made the heavens, and because Christ is the member of the Godhead with a body, so he placed him in that place of authority so that he can rule. And the Bible says, now sit until I make all your enemies your footstool. That means that Christ is no longer trying to fight. He has won. Now the rod of his strength is the Holy Spirit, who is working in us to make all the enemies of God at his footstool. The Bible says he sat him at his own right hand in heavenly places. And where is this heavenly places? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world that which is to come. So this is the place where Christ is. He's set at the right hand of the Father. And maybe we should look at that tomorrow. Seated at the right hand of the Father. Because we will need to classify the heavens. We need to see how we position the heavens, so that you can know where you are. What is your position in the heavens? But today, let's focus on there is a power that is available, exceeding greatness of his power available to us who believe. That means if God, that power could raise the dead, then that power can heal cancer. Because what is cancer? Cancer is just deading of cells. Some cells are losing their own direction. Now, if those that are dead were raised, and that power is available to us, so what is cancer? What is barrenness? What is body weakness? What is stroke? What is hypertension? You speak it to order. We speak it to order. The Bible says it is available to us who believe. Without believing, you will never see the power. When you believe that Christ is in you, the hope of glory, then you know that the power is in you, that he has made you a vessel of honor. He has made you powerful. He's given you his authority. He's given you his wisdom. You have the mind of Christ. That means your thoughts are guided by him. You have the power of Christ. You believe it, you receive it. You believe it, you have it. You believe it, you live it. Your mindset shifts. May we walk in power. All these powers that I've mentioned, the exceeding greatness of his power that is available for us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and he set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. I'll stop here. I pray that God will give us more insight into this. My brother, you're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Manuel. Indeed, it is re-energizing and encouraging to be reminded that it is a power available for us. Christ gave himself for the sake of our salvation, and he continues to live for the sake of intervention for our sake. So he's up there in heavenly places, seated on the right hand side of God. And it's clear that God says that it is only through him that you can get to me. And nothing fails in his name. So it is given to us already.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of remembering that and knowing how to tap it. And as you said, it is through having the faith. Yesterday, Christian was asking me, does faith negate the fact that, negate the issue of facts? Can I say I'm faithful, but also there are facts? So I was trying to explain to them, and I said, look, if you say you're faithful, then that takes precedent. That whatever you believe in, there's no any other fact but other than what God has told you.
Yeah.
So if God had told us that indeed, through Christ, through the name that is above all names, because God gave him a name that is above all names, and nothing fails,
yeah,
so it is already power. There is no way we can continue living in weakness. There's no way we can continue living in fear and worry. There's no way, because it is already answered. Christ went all the way to hell. There's nothing that he has not defeated. They say he's above all authorities, above all kingdoms, above all principalities. So there's nothing else that is above that.
Yeah.
So I think it's just a matter of remembering this as children of God and knowing that no matter what comes out, it's already dealt with.
Yeah.
It's already dealt with. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Yes, he is faithful. We'll talk about that fact and truth. That's a good one. What are the facts? What is the truth? Truth is what God says it is. And we can step on it. We can stand on it. And it's bigger than facts. Facts is science. Truth is the truest reality, our true life in Christ. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we give you glory. Thank you for the exceeding greatness of your power that is available for us. And I thank you for everyone that needs it today. Power for healing, power for breakthrough, power to make wealth, power indeed to destroy sickness and to destroy every altar of darkness against us. Power indeed to reach out to the lost, to evangelize, power to work out miracles. All this powerful resurrection, to raise the dead. You say all this is available for us who believe. May your name be praised. May your name be washed. I pray for that power to begin to work in our lives, to begin to work in our families, to begin to work in our children, to begin to work in our relatives, because our Lord, you have never forsaken us. You have never abandoned us, oh God. Thank you for your servants that are meeting to speak the word, that you empower them, oh God, that they shall know it is not from them, but it is from you, oh God. And you have said this power that you raised Christ from the dead with, that is available for us. I thank you that it is available to heal, available to destroy hepatitis, available to destroy any condition, oh God. And indeed, you are gracious. You are faithful. You can reverse any negative situation. I thank you that indeed our days are blessed. Indeed, we are completed in perfection. We shall see your hand, your power, and your promises. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.